it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, big voice man. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig rocking with you on a football Friday. It's been a fun one thus far. Again, appreciation to B. Scott for sitting in with us with an hour, a very fun hour. We're going to try and keep it fun as we keep going throughout the day. We'll hand things off at 2 to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, Team Mill as well. Clint and Ron will be out at the BB's there on 99 out in Katy. So go see the fellas. Go get you a nice commemorative Football Friday glass with the pictures of In the Loop on there as well. Obviously, there's one for each of all each of the shows on the station. There's a Pain of Pendergast and In the Loop, a drive and an Area 45. And of course, all through Football Fridays, through the season, you'll be able to go out and get you one per person that comes, and it's a limited supply. So you want to make sure you get out there and hang out with the fellas. But let's talk about this Texans team. We're gearing up for a fun weekend of football. Obviously, we'll have another opportunity to still break down this game because it's a Monday night as opposed to a Sunday night. But with that Monday night game, the schedule has shifted. So yesterday was actually the first time we can
Today's
hear kind
Thursday.
Of in, during the week. Today is the Thursday of the week. Okay, yeah. I was about for a second there, my brain was like, no, it's not. It's Friday.
Don't tell me that.
But I ain't coming in tomorrow.
It's a football Thursday of
yes,
sorts.
Yes.
Wait, I can't use that either because it's a football Friday. It's a you get what I mean.
It's a work week Thursday for the Texans.
There it is.
Yeah.
We got it. It only took a little bit of workshopping. But we heard from D'Amico. We heard from CJ. CJ, in his availability, said some things that I found to be interesting. And I'd like to start here. Because, again, the offense is a focal point and the coordinator is a focal point. And just getting better is something that absolutely needs to happen at home at NRG versus the Bucks. And so CJ was asked about the areas that the team has to fix going into this week. Listen to this and tell me if there's something that jumps out to you.
We got
to
help Kels out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally. And I think for the guys is not giving – what play are you going to call on second and 15, second and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know, so – third and 14, third and 12. Like you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I got to be better just pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, yeah, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better from that.
Yeah, we definitely know what the talking points are this week, right? Given what D'Amico Ryans has said about Nick Caley is not the problem. Offensive line is not the problem. Quarterback has to step up. And then couple that with what he just said, you're like, okay. So they want to be able to get, third and manageable, as you like to hear.
Right, no, that's one of them for sure. Obviously, the thing that caught people's attention, we got to help Kales, the offensive coordinator, is part of that. He mentioned managing the pocket. It's always funny. You can tell with this team in particular, when you get guys saying things, you can almost piece together what the team talk was with D'Amico
the talking points.
Or the coaching, whatever coaching staff ultimately relayed the message. But CJ and his responsibility of managing the pocket, but there was a phrase in particular that caught my attention and had my ears go up like a Doberman's of sorts. He said, I've got to be better about checking the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in my mind trying to mentally run back that week one game in LA versus the Rams. And I go, wasn't there a ton of checking
the
ball
down?
Like, I don't understand that. And look, it's possible that there's a misspeak happening or whatever. That is the thing that is kind of scary. And tell me if I'm reaching here, because that feels like, man, we weren't conservative enough in the way that we handled it from this particular talking point. And I don't think there's anybody that took that takeaway away from that.
No, and it just revolves around our discussion, which is weird, by the way. We're in week two, and we're already like, oh, boy, is this offense too conservative? Are they tying CJ's hands behind his back? Is he going to be comfortable with all these checkdowns instead of, as I said in the last segment, letting it rip? No, you are 100% right. I didn't think that didn't check the ball down enough. You know, that's exactly what he was doing.
He did make sure to say and still take my shots where I can. And I think that's going to be the heavier part for me. But in this instance, I'm kind of using the order as like orders of magnitude and orders of importance.
Yeah.
And he definitely got to the check down when I need to, but then also take some shots in a way that feels so opposite of what it feels like the progression for this offense needs to be to find some more things. I don't think it was just CJ didn't get the ball out quick enough, especially because I'm looking at it, and of course, to my eye, I'm not trained in being a high-level football person, but to my eye, I'm seeing CJ run through progressions in a way that's almost too fast where, give it a split second more and Nico Collins might break open and you can get the ball to what I imagine is your preferred target.
Yeah, and you've been talking about that since Monday, and we came in for the game, that there were potentially some opportunities there. And my counterpoint was I saw him not look there long enough. You know, as you did, but I'm saying just come off of it maybe a little too soon. I think he's coached to do that. And that's not letting it rip, trusting your receiver, letting it go.
And of course, there's a lot of assumptions that we're, trying to do as we read between the lines here. But if we are assuming correct, that's the thing that scares me the most about this Texans offense right now, is that they're going to try and vanilla this thing up to a place where it becomes problematic.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the thing we've talking about. Should you pay CJ? If you handcuff a quarterback of that caliber, and I know that wouldn't be the intention. The intention is be a game plan off, or not even game plan offense, a ball control offense, deliberate, and play what is called complementary football to what should be a very, very good defense. But if you get yourself to a point where you're predictable, which is a different, a different, I guess, verb that you could use, or verb? No, not verb. Parts of speech. Help me here. I know that and you're just letting me flounder. Right? Or maybe you don't know. Okay.
I'm trying to
say but a different descriptor that you could use for this offense, I think that ends up being even more problematic, because then you find defenses that go, I know what you're going for. I know you're trying to get the ball out quickly. I know that you're just really just existing in this area, and I can sit down on it, right? The lack of predictability is a large part of what helps you at this point in the league, as opposed to simply just being conservative.
No, I totally agree. Subject?
No. I feel so dumb in this moment, because this is grade school stuff that
you and
I'm
me
not
both
kind of with. So that one jumped out to me for sure when we heard CJ Stroud talking yesterday. But I did appreciate this. This is Stroud 4, if you don't mind, Fig. This was CJ talking about moving past week one, but also not taking it too lightly.
For me, I've been in this team myself. I've been in this position a bunch where everybody thinks you suck and whatever they want to think, cool, y'all go ahead and do that. We're going to continue to grind. And if we lay an egg again, we're going to get back up. We're going to trust each other. It really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. So, it takes time to build. We've been watching, sorry, I know I'm long-winded, but watching a lot of film of New England back when they were in 2002, 2003, 2004. They didn't, now, of course, they won, but they didn't look like what they did in their strong run right away. And, of course, that's the goal, to get it as quick as possible. But sometimes it's not the reality. So I'm trying my best to keep our guys' mojo up, and I think we're doing a good job of it.
Subject compliment is what it is. Anyway.
Might have just been adjective, honestly.
Well, no, it says it's the adjective, but it's a subject compliment.
Oh, okay.
All right, good. So.
We got right there in there.
I feel something kind of just in the distance on the horizon that may sort of fester into something much bigger. He immediately says, hey, you want to pile on me? Pile on me. I don't care. He cares. Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
I think he described that somewhat in the larger portion of the press conference, kind of about especially how his family kind of hears it.
Yeah.
And obviously one of the things where I was happy to hear some of the his faith kind of track back in. He was he leans on who he is in his faith, as opposed to how people will go up and down on you on the outside, but your faith will kind of ground you. And I was like, all right, cool. He's going to need that, because right now you are in this space where he's there. I believe him when he says that. And I think that will actually be helpful for him, because again, he's in a place where it's going to be tough right now. This is not, we didn't anticipate this being easy, figuring out and really breaking this offense. I don't know that I'm leaning into the idea that this offense will be entirely broken come Monday.
The one thing that you can hang your, or at least hope for, is we've been saying from the very beginning, it's going to be 4 or 5 weeks before you really get a feel for what, how CJ Stroud can handle this offense, can make those adjustments, can know when to change a play, maybe stretch the field a little bit, take that chance. So we're just going into week two. So you can hang your hat on that. The only thing that you have to watch is the offense going to be, is he going to be allowed to do that, even if, no matter how well he knows the offense?
Hey, yeah. Fig, our Ohio correspondent, I want to tap you in here. From the 713, said this on Wednesday, say it again, CJ's an Ohio State quarterback. Whatever hatred or animosity he's experiencing from the fan base is nothing compared to what he faced at Columbus.
This is true.
Can you confirm or deny? No, that's
true, man. Yeah. You looking at one of them, like, as much as I love CJ Stroud, throughout the whole season, I'm like, run the ball, man. Get the first down, bro. And specifically, I want to say it was in the Michigan game, mm-hmm. where I think it might have been like 4-2 or something like that. And he was just sitting back there trying to throw them. I'm like, get the first down. And didn't get the first. Now, he did it in the Georgia game.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
That's when I was happy. But the kicker, that's a whole nother conversation.
All right, we don't need you to go full Ohio State. Reel it in.
Yeah, no, I will say this. Ohio State fans did appreciate CJ after seeing the other quarterbacks come in after CJ Stroud. Where he's like, Kyle McCord. Kind of miss CJ Stroud a little bit.
Yeah, so I did find that to be an interesting point. Do you have any, because we had the practice report yesterday. Obviously, we'll get another one today as we get closer to the game. And Jake Andrews continues to be out. We kind of anticipated that. Ed Ingram was a limited participant, but Blake Fisher was a full participant. He has been. Where are you with this offensive line? Because it seems like Jared Patterson will play this week.
Yes.
It just seems like it's in there.
I think it might help. All due respect to Andrews, but C.J. Stroud knows Jared Patterson quite well. He stepped in and did, you know, pretty dang well last year. I think there's a comfort level. I'll put it this way. I don't expect there to be a drop-off, you know, at all.
Doesn't seem like that with C.J. Check the tone on this, especially as he continues. CJ, is it going to be seamless going to Jared Patterson?
Yeah, it's great. You know, me and Slime, that's his nickname. Yeah, I can't say that. I'm going to get fined. Me and J-Pat have done a good job early on in our careers of, like, finding a good relationship on calls, on really just everything, like snaps. He does a good job, you know, of getting the guys around, getting them going. So I thought, you know, when he stepped in, he did a good job. Of course, we're going to miss Jake, and he was doing a really good job too. So, just try to do as best I can wherever I have. It sucks. I have a lot of experience with backup centers, and which is not fortunate all the time. But at the same time, I love J-Pat. He's a great player, and he's going to do great for us.
A lot of experience with backup centers.
I could hear it in him.
Oh, Lord. How do we always come back to the offensive line? Why is it always back to that? You know, like he deserves a guy that's been there, is going to stay there, is going to be a Pro Bowler, et cetera.
He does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not quite what he has, and I don't think I'm being disrespectful to Jared Patterson or Jake Andrews in saying that. Oddly enough, I do, and we've talked about this. I don't think that this is going to be – I think this will be seamless, rather, is the way that I should say this, with Jared Patterson sliding in. I don't think this will be worse than Jake Andrews, and I do think there's actually the possibility that somehow, some way, is actually a little bit better.
Maybe. I won't disagree.
Now, of course, this is a weird day to do that, or a game to do that, as he will be opposite. What number does he wear? Is it 50?
Vita Vea?
Big Vita Vea?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be – the weird one to put it up against, but no, he's heard the frustration. You can almost hear some of the frustrations that he has himself, but it seems like he's excited for prepared for the opportunity. The only thing that got me was that one, just checking down more. It's like, really?
Yep. Yeah. We don't need that.
No, we don't at all. Yeah. And I want to leave with this though. Let's get some positive vibes from the CJ Stroud and what he was talking about. Actually, you know what? Give me Stroud 6. Cause I was going to go back to his 2023 game versus Tampa. We might play that audio a little bit earlier or later to just kind of revisit some of that fun. But CJ Stroud, I kind of want to get his vibes on playing with a guy like Nico, because that's a connection that absolutely needs to tick up this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I like because Nico is that way, but also, like, he demands the ball. He wants the ball. And, you know, it's our job to find ways to get it to him. And I thought we could have, you know, definitely I could have done a better job of getting him the rock when he was open. And, I think he's going to show up big time. Every dog has his day, you know, and Nico's a growling at the mouth like a Rottweiler, trying to get that ball. And so I'm excited to see. And you know, I'm always looking for 12, man. That's never a question. So yeah, he'll be all right.
First play of the game, like old school Bobby Slowick.
Ooh,
old school Bobby Slowick with Nico, just chunk it.
Maybe not chunk it. Maybe just a screen. Just get the ball in his hands.
Oh, you want to go that route, or just get him a touch.
Let him get a touch. Let's get this going. Nah, I do, man. I do love the like chomping at the bit. In essence,
yeah.
We don't think of Nico Collins as like that guy.
Oh, for sure he does.
At the very least, yeah. With CJ, it does. I love at least mm-hmm. hearing this. There's some facet of this mm-hmm. where Nico's like, I'm not going to do it in a way that's disrespectful. I'm not going to do it in a
but
way.
But you're going to know.
But hey,
yeah.
I do wonder if he just sends him. Know. I feel like it's just one of those. He gives him a look and CJ knows exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, still over here. I like the football. Please and thank you.
Yes.
I am excited for that. At the very least, the possibility of that. But I'm intrigued as to how they try and do it.
I'm intrigued how it's not as if Tampa doesn't know that this is going to be the Texans, sort of strategy. So I'm intrigued how they're going to play it.
And because the reason why I was like, ooh, the idea of just like, hey, chuck it down deep mm-hmm. and maybe getting it done earlier would be better. Because one thing about Todd Bowles, he likes sending mm-hmm. extra guys and mm-hmm. he likes sending them in, disguised ways or, fancy ways. And so the idea of CJ, identifying what's happening pre-snap and also what's happening post-snap, there's going to be a lot on his plate there. Yeah. So holding this offensive line, getting the right protection, and keeping him upright long enough to launch it downfield, mm-hmm. that's going to be something I'm very intrigued in. And I say that to say I'm not certain that that's going to go exactly in the way that we would hope.
That's the storyline.
Yeah, we'll see as we keep going. We are barreling towards Texans Bucks here at NRG Stadium. That's on Monday. Obviously, we have an opportunity to talk about that again after the weekend before we get football on Monday night here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, it's about that time when we get our lunchtime confession. So why don't we do that on Sports Radio 610?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Normally you think Monday Night Football, right? Let's go. Going to be badass. Going to be on the stage pretty much by yourself for at least the majority of the game. You think, can't wait. My confession is I kind of want to play. I want to see him play Sunday.
100%.
I want to see him play Sunday. I want to get this thing going. There are so many. I alluded to it. Is that bad? Like, you don't want your team showcased. You just want to get it on. As Andy was saying the other day, I want to play at noon on Sunday. Part of it is the mystery behind what they're doing offensively that we've talked about a lot. I just feel like it's so crucial. It's not make or break. It's not must win or anything like that. But this game is going to set the tone for a while. I'll put it that way.
No, 100%. Yeah. I think that's exactly why. And I'll put it like this. When you as a family are working through your issues, you don't want that in front of the public. Now, do you?
Well, it's not just I want to see it.
Bury me on an like, I know where you're coming from. Yeah. I'm personally in a bury me on a middle afternoon game while I'm working on my stuff. So I want to be showcased when it's all good. Like when it's like everything is running and I know I can put my best foot forward. I'm not certain the best foot forward is coming out on
that
Monday.
Term I've been using for years. Stay low and build. Stay low and build. Everybody kept remember a couple years ago, everybody kept saying, we need some primetime games.
Eventually.
Hey, I'm fine with playing Sunday at noon every single week if we're good. And then next year we can follow that road.
You guys are both right, but mine is more based on
antsy.
You're just antsy. You want to get there.
I want to see it, and I want to see it now. The old whatever, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It kind of made the week go by slow,
I want my
too.
Oompa Loompa. I want it now. Yeah, I want to see what this does. It looks like.
Yeah, I think.
Can you just go ahead and mark that? I want that. I might need that.
But it did seem because it seemed like this. Well, last Sunday the game started at 3:25 or whatever, mm-hmm. and now it's like you got to wait all the way to Monday night football.
Yes.
At least it started at 6 and not like 7.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean though. Mm-hmm.
If they had just scored one touchdown.
Oh, we'd be, let's go.
Like, I'd have been like, all right, Monday night, that's cool. No touchdowns.
You kind of forget about that, too. They haven't scored a touchdown.
Not yet. Not in the Kaylee era. No, they have not. The Texans have not scored a touchdown in the Nick Haley era. That sounds like forever. It's like 1 week.
Yeah.
But still, they have not scored a touchdown in the Nick Haley era. And
what was the last time they scored a touchdown?
How many days? Well, you want to do it like that?
It's been, or what was the the last time they scored a touchdown?
Well, Chargers. No, Chiefs.
Yeah. But how many days is that? How many months is that?
How many quarters?
Day 100.
How many quarters? That really is the worst. It's been 300 and it's like, damn.
Yeah.
It's been eight quarters since they scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Go get on that. I need you to get on this, Figgy Fig. I think actually, mine is football related, and it's pretty evident, but I feel it very strongly. And it's been since 2004, I believe, is the year where the oldest player to lead the NFL in rushing was Curtis Martin. I think Derrick Henry is going to break that this year.
Oh, he is older, right?
Curtis Martin was 31 in that season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Derrick Henry breaks that record this year. And, of course, it's easy to say that after week one. Yeah. However, like, it just seems like he's impossible to slow down. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue utilizing him. And I would have never guessed when he joined the Ravens, what was that, 3 seasons ago now?
Oh, yeah.
That we would be in this place where he's 31 and I go,
this is second season.
2 seasons, sorry, mm-hmm. appreciate you. Where when he joins, I go, all right, what will happen on the other side of this is
mm-hmm.
he will very much be, not just have the possibility, but it won't be surprising
mm-hmm.
to say that he's going to lead the league in rushing and probably become the oldest guy to ever do that.
Remember when we were talking about, well, the Texans are interested in Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. Nah, they're old.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, we heard all the running back stories and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, hell, I think, not to put you on the spot, Lopez, but you was kind of like, this is about that time, Derrick, you was kind of using the running back
thing,
too.
Oh, yeah, the history of the running back.
You know, you should. I don't think you say you're going to fall off, but start slowing down.
When it starts.
Kind of start slowing down mm-hmm. and – to be fair, he was in Tennessee, mm-hmm. so maybe that has something to do with it. But when he went back to Baltimore, it's like, damn, why did Tennessee give that up?
Which is funny, because if you see him up close and personal, you should know he is an alien.
Yeah.
He's not a real human being.
Yeah, you can't look at him as other running backs.
Yes.
That's kind of like the Adrian Peterson
mm-hmm.
of them all.
It's a different animal.
Oh, from 281, Mixon was the last to score a touchdown for the Texans.
Oh, good research.
Ooh, man.
Thank you.
Goodness gracious,
from
man.
The research department.
Mm. Will he score a touchdown this season? 713-572-4667.
Oh, because didn't they ask, was it D'Amico? They asked him about Joe Mixon, and he was like, we hope that he's doing well.
We'll let you know when we let you know.
Not even we'll let you know. We hope that he's doing well was words that we're using. Yeah. I was like,
that's what I say. When somebody asked me about an auntie I ain't talked to in a couple years. Oh, she's doing well. Yeah. she good. Everything good with her. She's doing pretty good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually have a football related one.
Yeah,
look at us.
Football,
I know.
Look at us talking sports.
Sticking to sports. Sticking to sports.
Yeah,
I got to confess. So I was watching Thursday Night Football last night, and we was kind of raving about Jordan Love a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to confess, I'm a little jealous the way Green Bay has just been lucking into franchise quarterbacks like
year
this,
after
man.
Year, man.
And I'm wondering, like, I'm kind of wondering, maybe it's just a different time or whatever, but why don't other teams kind of handle this quarterback situation like they do?
Put them on the bench and let them,
Yeah, because it seemed like they did it the last two times. Mm-hmm. They did it with, they had Brett Favre. I ain't going all the way back in the day, but Brett Favre, they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sat for a couple years. And then they brought him in. And then same thing with Jordan Love. He sat for, well, felt like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Why teams don't really take this type of approach? I know time is very limited.
Well, the interesting thing, part of it is the collective bargaining agreement. I think that's a big part of it these days. But it used to be That's how you handled every rookie quarterback. Yeah, I mean, but, it was a rarity to start a rookie quarterback with them, halfway into a year.
And with them, and you know, I'm being funny, calling them lucky, but it seemed like that works.
It absolutely works. But the biggest thing to me, I don't know about you, Reggie, but is once you get into the rookie contract stuff, then the clock starts so much sooner than the old days. But,
because
you got to pay them after 4 or 5 years.
But see, I'm not even talking about getting the quarterback in the top 10 or anything like that. Of course, you're going to want them to play as soon as possible. But they took a quarterback when they necessarily didn't need a quarterback. They took one in the late first round.
Like, yeah, but that's still a first rounder. So I think there's multiple parts of it. And I think that's one of them is, first and foremost, you're going to use a highly valued draft pick on a player that you don't intend on having on your field. A first-round pick you intend on not only playing but being a big factor or maybe even a starter when you select them. That would be taking a first-round pick or maybe a second-round pick and saying, not only do we not intend on them being a starter, we don't intend on seeing them.
Yeah.
And that's something that's hard to sell in this NFL where you're always trying to push and add to what you're doing, especially salary cap where you need that cost-controlled player. I think also you started hitting on a good one, Lopez, when you talk about a quarterback and the time to pay them. You need to figure out if this quarterback that you get is a guy that is worth paying. And so you need as many years as you possibly can get.
And you had him back in the day.
Right? You need as many years as you possibly can get to figure out, especially as the cost per the quarterback goes up, to decide, are we going to pick up that fifth-year option? Yeah, are we going to pay them? And if you do the thing with Jordan Love, if you remember, it was, I believe, 3 seasons. And then it's like, here, now you're out here, and we have a year, maybe two, to figure out if you are worth the money.
Yeah. But they played it perfectly, though.
They did.
Like, there's no conversation. Yeah. I think we was kind of – people was probably, I think, questioning the pick, Jordan Love. Oh,
we didn't know
beginning.
If he was any good.
Yeah, and
that
on
was
top
a discussion.
And on top of it, you still got Aaron Rodgers. That's still good.
Yeah. And that's the third thing is.
So they I felt like they just played it. They played the long game a little bit. They wasn't really trying to get him in right now. They played it just in time, and now it's not even a conversation.
Well, it's easy to say that on the back end, though, because in real time, you're also dealing with an Aaron Rodgers who's at the top of his game or near the top of his game. You're using a first-round pick to get a quarterback instead of a dude who needs wide receivers, not getting him talent. And the big thing is, you piss off your starting quarterback.
Yeah, you do.
But they did it 3 different times, man. It wasn't like it was just Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck.
2 times between quarterbacks, but still, the point remains.
It wasn't just it just lucked up on Andrew Luck type of deal. It seemed like this is kind of consistent. I'm just wondering why other teams don't really go with that.
Ultimately,
approach.
It always comes back down to that. And by the way, all I'm hearing is Figgy wants the Texans to use a first round pick on a quarterback this year.
I mean, Graham Mertz is right there. What are you talking about? Magic says, wouldn't that reduce the amount of money that you'll pay because they won't show that much? No, that's not how the market works. If you're going to pay a quarterback, it's next man up. It's just like, hey, what is the market set at? And even then, like, if you're planning on having them as a starter, you're paying starter money. It's not, well, we don't know yet, so we can't pay you that much. No. That agent will be like, if you want to sign my quarterback, you will have to pay. And so it will just be you not being all that convinced as opposed to you saving some money.
But see, the thing is, whenever a team got a franchise quarterback already, you don't think about drafting the quarterback unless it's like a Graham Mertz or something like that. But if you're kind of getting towards that back end and you're a team like Green Bay that's kind of looking three steps ahead, then I'm like, dang, maybe that is the best way to do it. So that way you won't be in the quarterback hell type of situation ever.
Well, there's other quarterbacks that have drafted teams that have drafted quarterbacks, maybe not first round specifically.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't hit, you look foolish. That gets you fired very quickly. Mm-hmm. I think the middle ground that some teams try and take is like a fourth or fifth round quarterback and see if maybe you find gold.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it doesn't hurt as much. You haven't used your top tier draft capital outside of places where they can help you on the other parts of the team. And you can maybe see if you find a little something like a Dak Prescott or something.
But you're saying,
fourth round pick?
Yeah, that's true. I was going to bring up even New England. Like, they had Tom Brady and they also brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he's not the same type of person.
Yeah. But they were kicking the tires.
Yeah. It seemed like they were preparing just in case. And then it didn't work out and they flipped them for a pick.
Yeah.
So, I think that's very interesting. That's a great point. There you go. A little bit of a lunchtime confessions. Real sportsy on a Football Friday here in the Loop. Coming up next.
How dare us.
Football Friday also means that we're gearing up for the weekend that will be in college football. So, you know what that means. John Lopez's college football headline of the weekend. What will it be? Well, you got to stay tuned to hear that next.
Come on, Figgy. You know what we need? You got it. I know you do. It's a big week.
There we go.
There we go. All right, big week. Sappy college football theme of the week time. I guess the only way you can put it is plop it on the table Saturday.
What?
Plop it on the table Saturday. That's what this. That's what this week
Explain
is called.
Explain yourself, man. All right,
because there's a number of games that we got to get to this weekend. Obviously, one of them being Texas A&M at Notre Dame. Tough loss last year. Returning the favor this year is what the Aggies are hoping. And this is why it's plop it on the table. Every game that you can look at of the big games, every game that you can look at of the big games this week, you could fairly say that it fits with the theme of plop it on the table Saturday, just like you're supposed to. Tennessee, let's start right there. Terrific. They've looked terrific against subpar competition. Joey Aguilar, you know, the trade they made to get him, basically.
Which they are winning right now.
They are winning
Nico
the trade.
Nico Iamaleava out there at UCLA is not looking like what you want, although he is looking like what you should have expected.
Yeah. The trade they made, it's looking really good, but this is Georgia, man. This is Georgia. Do you have what it takes? Tennessee, they've looked really good. They look really, really good. But now,
it's a Josh Heupel offense, baby.
Yeah, but now you got Georgia. So they're going to have to plop it on the table to prove themselves.
Still hilarious.
So that's one. We'll get to the Aggies now. The question has been, should we expect something different this time? You know, the last few years, you know, obviously Mike Elko only in his second year, former Notre Dame defensive coordinator.
Very good.
Very good defensive coordinator. Taking over defensive calls this year.
He was DC.
The Duke head coach.
Head coach at DC.
Coordinator at Notre Dame. Do you want to get out of that rut? Well, you better plop it on the table. You better show yourself because that's Notre Dame over there.
In a very specific context, I just don't want anybody to hear you better show yourself and do it in other contexts. Just in this instance, prove what you got.
South Bend, Indiana awaits. And you know a really weird thing about this game that has happened in the last week? So after the Irish lost to Miami in a really good game that we talked about, the prices and availability of Notre Dame home game tickets went way down and the availability went way up. There is a projection by one of the ticket outlets, one of the apps, I forget what it was, that up to 20% of the stadium now is tickets were purchased in Texas.
That would be
really interesting.
That would be.
A lot of Aggies in Chicago reportedly now, you know, obviously heading to South Bend, Indiana. So it'll be interesting to see. But Notre Dame is really good. We know this. But first-year quarterback, Aggies with Marcel Reed, you know, he's going to have to prove himself now. Really good run game, which is how you win on the road. They can go three deep in the running back room.
But one thing is Marcus Freeman is probably putting together the most respectable Notre Dame team that we've seen
program.
In a very, very long time. No, I mean program, but then also specifically with the team itself. And the thing I was going to ask you, because at this time of year, it's so tough to get a feel for so many teams, especially the ones that have been playing maybe not the best competition at this point yet. How are you feeling about Marcel Reed and this offense? Because I have not had the fortune of being able to watch them and get a feel for what A&M is right now.
Yeah, I've watched both games. The I won't say criticism, the sort of the critique, which is kind of in the same vein, but is, hey, if he can just become a better passer, if he can just become a better – he wasn't awful last year, but if he can just become a better passer because he's really good reading defense, is really good with his legs, he's been a better passer. But UTSA – you know, was the opponent week one. And then obviously Utah State last week. This is Notre Dame, man. This is Notre Dame with a really good secondary. Maybe not as good, quite as good as last year, but a really good secondary. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Can they run the ball with Le'Veon Moss and just a really good assortment of running backs, an offensive line that returned all five starters from last year? Can they run the ball and give him the opportunity to throw the ball?
We'll see. We'll see this weekend.
South Florida, by the way.
USF.
They have
go Bulls.
They have plopped it on the table a couple of times.
This is how many times you think you could plop it on the table and still have the bigger one.
Yeah.
If we're just going to completely lean into this thing that we probably shouldn't, and I should probably dead right now. This is where it gets real tough, because you did a great job in week one kind of making this, and then you made it a real ugly game against Florida. And that's a Florida team that's been really underachieving. Mm-hmm. It took some nastiness from them to help you get an 18-16 victory. This Miami team is much better than that. I don't think they have a real shot here, but they're still in a great place to be like that, the group of five represented in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And the really big thing for me, if I'm going to try and be fair to them, is how good can you look against the Miami team that really is your better?
Miami is flat out a contender. You beat the hell out of Boise State week one. You went into Florida and made life miserable for Billy Napier week two, but this is Miami. You know, you're catching a theme here. I keep saying, but this is Georgia for Tennessee. But this is Notre Dame
week
for
three,
the Aggies.
This is about
but this is Miami
right.
for South Florida. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those where it's a really prove it, if you want to be a little soft pedal a little bit, it's a prove it Saturday.
Thank you.
For a lot of these teams.
There might be, you know, there might be children in the car. It's a Friday. They might have gotten out of school or something.
Well, they need to go back to school, man. They need to go back to school. Another one that is really a lot of interest to me is, we just mentioned Billy Napier. I mean, Florida is up against it right now, big time, and they want him out. If he doesn't get it done, forget plopping it on the table.
Who they playing?
He's going to be a eunuch. But
they're playing, as one recruit once called him, the University of LSU. They're playing Louisiana State in Baton Rouge, mind you, as well. That is a number three LSU with a Grant Nussmeier that looks like he's delivering on all fronts there, with a defense that looks like they have really put it together. Harold Perkins looked like he is on another one.
That is a monster.
They finally found him that right position, because he's been in this weird tweener where he's, you know, moved off the line, moved onto the line. They've tried to find him that right spot. It looks good there as well. They're going to need to really show up against the LSU on the road, and you got to give your faithful in Florida something to believe in, because that's really the thing that secures your job. It's not just wins and losses. It's, do we believe that you can do this?
Not only that, but obviously I think we're all going to pick LSU here. But if you get run out of the gym, so to speak, I mean, they have to at least look competitive against LSU.
Agreed.
They have to at least look competitive. This is an interesting one for me. It might be like an early Heisman showdown. And then you're going to raise your eyebrows when I say this.
Yeah, you might be doing a little bit much here, friend.
Hold on.
Okay.
Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And South Carolina. Diego Pavia has done that and put it on the table. He considers Vanderbilt a real contender in the SEC West. He was, I think he was SEC Player of the Week already this week. As a quarterback, he beat Alabama. They beat Alabama last year, thanks to him. And he will
always drink in Nashville for free.
Yes,
for that thing.
It's a big if, but you know, given what he's done already on his resume, and then you beat the other Heisman contender, Lenore Sellers, you might be onto something here in Vanderbilt.
I like what you're trying to do. I am not taking that bait. I know you're a fisherman. That one is not appealing to me. I think that he can do a little something for himself, just continuing to build the legend that is Diego Pavia. That is, again, it is solidified. He going to be good in the college football streets. Mm-hmm. Like, if you mention the name Diego Pavia, the real college football sickles would be like, ah, yeah.
That guy.
That was that guy. But I don't think that he can put himself on the Heisman watch. But what he can do is be quite a spoiler in some ways to South Carolina and their aspirations. This is a good South Carolina team.
It's a really good
Lenore
South
Sellers
Carolina team.
Looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go and actually look at the Heisman watch, because I haven't dipped into it early for obvious reason.
Mm-hmm.
But he is absolutely a dude who has looked like that guy. What guy? That guy. But if we're talking about Heisman watch, I think that there's a few names that I would probably a nice handful, if not more names before I get to well before.
But
I consider
you just
Diego
said it,
Pavia.
You know, if he can upset South Carolina on it is a nationally televised game. That's how you get in the race. That is absolutely how you get in the race, especially if your team, Vanderbilt, which does not have, you know, much of a history in football, you know, starts to win some games. That's how you do it. I don't think it's an overstatement. Now, he might get run out of the gym too, but if this happens, I think you're going to hear some rumblings and grumblings about Diego Pavia.
I'd very much anticipate the latter, and I think that that's actually something that I do want to give just a moment of time to, because we could talk about the possibilities of what Vanderbilt does. This is a South Carolina team that is
good
with Shane Beamer, mm-hmm. where this is something that they haven't done a lot recently, mm-hmm. at least not under him. Like, maybe you got to go back to the old ball coach to get mm-hmm. a South Carolina team of this magnitude. So, no, this continued build, I think, is a big deal. And seeing another iteration of Lenore Sellers, I think, is going to be really huge before you get to SEC play.
Let me ask you this before we move on. I got two more on Plop It on the Table Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Who, from what you've seen thus far, who's the best team in the country?
I'm trying to recall because for some reason my brain is not taking me there.
I would say it's one of three teams. Add one if you feel that there is one. I think it's either Oregon.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I was
what they
of.
Did to Oklahoma State. We didn't even really talk about it too much on CFO.
69-3.
That and, should not happen.
Well, yeah. and this is the
that
thing.
That should just flat out not
it
happen.
It happened intentionally. I think they probably could have run it up further, and it was a statement, which, this has been the whole ethos of Dan Lanning going to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to build an SEC team outside the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and he's maintained it.
But they beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
That's and, Oklahoma State.
Well, yeah. Oklahoma State ain't still Oklahoma State.
I understand that, yeah. but that's a
but
major.
You would have thought that was Grambling.
Exactly. They, you would have thought that it was something along those lines. No, that's a humiliation. And that's coming from someone who survived the Dennis Franchione era.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, that is a humiliation for a major program. Forget where they are, in the stratosphere now. That's an absolute. So I think it's either Oregon.
Oregon's a good shout. I like
LSU, and we'll find out a lot this week. But they do not have a weakness, man. They just don't have a weakness. Or Ohio State, to be honest. Shout out to Figgy. They have all the parts too. Is there anybody I'm missing? The best team in the country?
Actually, I probably go with the teams that you've thrown up there. Mm. I'm going to have to try and get my brain out of the space that it typically is and give Penn State a little bit of an opportunity.
I thought about it for a hot second, but they one of those teams. I got to see y'all in the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
At least do it.
Or to a good team.
That's mm-hmm. I need to see it against a good team.
Let's see you against Ohio State or Michigan or somebody in your own damn division.
Well, that transitions to the last couple of notes I want to make here for tomorrow's and this weekend's games. One team we didn't mention, Alabama. That should be a given, right?
Who's Alabama have?
They
this week?
Have
I don't recall.
Wisconsin at home.
Oh yes, the Luke Fickell boys.
Wisconsin starting quarterback Billy Edwards is not going to play. He's injured. You lose this one. You lose this one to Wisconsin.
This is one where you got to tee off and get you a nice win to get that little old lady at the corner store off your back and get you out of your job.
I would love to watch the game with her and see how she reacts to that game.
If Alabama loses this one to Wisconsin playing a backup quarterback and a boring Wisconsin team, all due respect, that's how they play, then everybody in Alabama is going to be playing the Powerball next week. I mean, they're all going to be playing the Powerball.
They might be getting together to try to scramble up a little money.
Yeah. And
Kalen, I need you to go ahead and run up some style points for your account because it's your funds are looking a little insufficient right now.
Yeah. One more for you guys because this is something of an in the weeds, I think, huge game. Arkansas is going to Ole Miss. Have you seen Talen Green yet, the Arkansas quarterback?
See, and this is the thing. We've talked with Clint about it, and he's given a good report about Talen. I still haven't gotten my eyes on him. I need to see what he's doing and whether he can help old Sam.
6'5", 230, quarterback. 6'5", 230, leads the FBS in touchdowns, and already has, I believe it's 8 runs of more than 10 yards. And Ole Miss, we know, has really built a powerhouse.
Ole Miss is kind of a really nice team, right?
Yeah.
Like, I always shudder giving Lane a lot of credit.
Yeah.
And, of course, their quarterback, they're still trying to figure that out after coming off of Jackson.
But that's a powerhouse program now. There's no denying it. And Arkansas has been sort of in that A&M mode. Can we get over? Can we get over? Can we get over? They got a quarterback that might be able to do it.
A lot of fun this weekend in college football. That serves Lopez's college football headline of what was the headline again?
Plop It on the Table Saturday.
That'll serve as your college football preview for this weekend, and it's presented by Walmart. Appreciate you rocking with us here in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to the final hour of the program before we hand things off to the fellas of the drive. And you talked about matchups. This weekend, a big-time matchup, obviously, is one that we are talking about, C.J. Stroud, Baker Mayfield. How does it compare with some of the other matchups that we have and maybe some other NFL questions for the weekend? We'll get into those next on Sports Radio 610.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.